Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Our special guest is Ted Cunningham. Our subject today is all about building healthy, strong relationships and marriages. Ted Cunningham is a nationally acclaimed Christian author, speaker, comedian, and founding pastor of Woodland Hills Family Church in Branson, Missouri. He also serves as a columnist for Christian Counseling Today magazine for the AACC. He's a comedian on the Date Night Comedy Tour, which seeks to enrich people's lives, strengthen marriages and relationships, and draws people closer to God and to each other. Ted's happily married to his college sweetheart, who he met when they were both attending Liberty University. Ted, welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Thank you for joining us.
Always great being with you, Tim.
Hey, Ted, as we get started, man, you've been canvassing the country. It's that time of the year, and I know that you've been having a lot of fun. But, Ted, you're out on the front lines. Most of the couples I interact with, two words, they're tense or they're tired. What are you seeing, Ted, out there on the front line? What are you hearing from couples?
Well, I'll tell you what I hear at the end of love and laughter events and date night comedy events. I hear, haven't laughed that hard in a long time. My face hurts and my side hurts. And that's why I love using humor when I speak, teach, preach, because I tell couples, if you haven't laughed this hard in a long time, we got to get something figured out for your daily life and throughout your week. That this isn't something that should be periodic. This should be a regular part of enjoying life together.
Ted, a lot of people struggle when it comes to marriage events. Men in particular, they just don't like going. I think that's the, by the way, that's the PS that you bring. It is you bring them in and you take the edge off by helping them laugh a little bit, chill, relax, because a lot of couples coming in, Ted, are, yeah, they're there because things aren't necessarily going all that well. And yeah, it was the you're going to the event type thing. And it's like, what am I doing here?
I always make the promise, this will not be a husband-bashing retreat. This will not be a husband-bashing night. And you can see the husbands dragging in, but then they leave a little lighter going, okay. I even have pastors at the end of events tell me, hey, you know, who we brought in last year beat up on the husbands a little bit. Thank you for going a little easier on them.
Ted, you share a lot about yourself, which I find amusing. You have quite a father-in-law, and you go back and tell some stories on him, but you tell on yourself a lot. That helps to cut the – but hey, share a little bit about some of your background and why God, I think, put you in this lane. You pastor. You're a full-time pastor, but you're out – you're canvassing the country doing marriage events.
Yeah, I'm grateful for a church that lets me be what they – our elders call me a marriage missionary. So they're grateful to send me out, and I love going out. My passion in life is helping couples enjoy life together, and Amy and I will be married 28 years, met at Liberty on a blind date on Smith Mountain Lake, and I mean, not a lot of people can say their first date was with the Falwells and the Gillermans, right? But we were on a boat, nothing intimidating about that dinner table, but We've been married now 28 years. Amy shares the passion. I tell people, you know, her laugh, she has a silent, patriotic laugh. She's more reserved than I am. So when she finds something funny, she places her hand over her heart. She leans forward and nothing comes out. So it's very quiet. And my goal is to go for that laugh every single day. I'm not successful every day. I go for it every day. But I'm going to tell you, we've learned that, yes, ministry is serious. Life is serious. We deal with a lot of couples and individuals in our church that are going through very, very, you know, dire need, difficult situations, difficult family systems. And we've had to find in our own marriage, you know, making it a priority to walk on the lighter side.
Ted, you and I have often shared that verse of scripture, Ecclesiastes 9:9, live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life. That's a pretty tough assignment though, Ted, when it seems like everything in life works against your love in your relationship. Whether the bills are going unpaid, or maybe it's demanding schedules, kids out of control, or Ted, maybe you're living in a relationship with someone you don't know really loves you anymore, or God forbid, they come at you, they yell and scream or what have you, and behind closed doors, it's like in the quiet corners of a lot of hearts, there's profound sorrow. Ted, talk to us about what you think are the main culprits that really eat at, destroy, take away that closeness that we all want.
Yeah, Tim, you're the only other ministry leader I know that regularly quotes Ecclesiastes 9:9. And that's the verse that takes me around the country, because it's not just in this life that we're to enjoy life with each other. It's in this toilsome labor, this very difficult, challenging time under the sun. So I tell at the onset of every coaching or counseling session as a pastor, I tell couples, Jesus is your source, Satan is your enemy, your spouse is your companion. And if you want to experience high levels of marital satisfaction, never confuse those three. Your spouse is not your source. Your spouse is not your enemy. Jesus is your source. So plug into the true and only source of life. Fire your spouse as the source of life. And together stand in the toilsome labor, in the difficult seasons and stages of life. You see it all the time as a counselor. Couples want us to help them out of the season or the stage that they're in. Just get me out of this season or stage. We'll enjoy the next one. It's not possible in this one. And that's what one UK professor calls a destination addiction. We've all fallen for it. It's, I can't find joy in this season, but it awaits me in the next one. And I'm encouraging couples to look for it in this season and this stage, and start by not looking at your spouse as the source or the enemy. Your marriage has an enemy. Make no mistake. It's just not your spouse.
Yeah. Ted, I remember when I saw Julie for the first time, when I really saw her. We were at a roller skating rink in Lynchburg, Virginia, a Sadie Hawkins event. She was wearing red pants. I won't forget that.
Hey, you're making every man now feel bad, Ted. Ted, I don't remember one thing what we were wearing.
But Ted, I'm telling you what, it was like, yow, that's, oh my goodness. And Ted, what starts happening inside of you is there's this drawing, this attraction, and then there's this substance we call love that begins to form at whatever primal level, and we begin to move together toward each other. And Ted, that love piece, ask anybody. Through the years, I did a lot of research around what makes for a healthy marriage, and people invariably come back and they'll say love. The problem is this. People don't really know what love is. They think they know what love is. But Ted, help us with that piece, because I think a lot of people get really lost when it starts getting a little trying, when the relationship gets a little difficult, when you wake up, you're not sure you like that person on the pillow next to you. Matter of fact, you're struggling to talk, those kind of things. And by the way, Ted, that can be in the early seasons of life, or by the way, carry you later into life, and you're still having the same feelings.
Yeah. Well, they're the myths that we fall for. The myth of, I love Jesus, so loving you will be easy. Or how about, if I love Jesus and you love Jesus, then getting along, that'll be easy.
No problem, yes. No problem.
Why do we have over 51 and other passages in the New Testament that were taught how to bear with one another, forgive one another, love one another? And I love how you describe, you know, the early on relationship, because it's one of the fundamental teachings we have in marriage. What was natural early on, you must be intentional with later on. And so that attraction, that chemistry early on, it's like breathing. No one has to look at a newlywed couple and ask them, hey, are you guys touching enough? You guys touch enough? It's natural. But after you've been married 20 or 30 years, you have to be intentional with the non-sexual touching. And, you know, that's my favorite Gary Smalley joke. You know, research says you need 12 non-sexual touches a day, and it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's a gentle hair over the ear, hand on the small of the back, hand on the thigh, a kiss on the cheek, a kiss on the forehead. But that's what I love, and I share that in almost every date night event or love and laughter conference, is you must be intentional with what was like breathing or natural early on in the chemistry attraction phase. And the cool thing is, if you'll be intentional with it again, it can feel natural again and not work. And you know, that's not my favorite word when it comes to marriage. I don't like the word work. I prefer the word intentional because, you know, I just hear it all the time. When we ask any ministry leader about marriage, and they're like, marriage is hard, it's difficult, it's painful, it's work, it'll grind you down. And it's like, okay, could we get back to enjoying life together, walking side by side through the garden, through the grind, through the seasons and stages of life, you know, helping each other along the way, seeing each other as a companion, not as the source of the enemy.
Ted, I saw somebody, they were saying this, a good marriage is like a pet boa constrictor. Either you feed it every day or bad things will happen.
I don't know what's worse, that or the ball and chain illustration or...
You know, Ted, in it, learning that there are different sides to love. Everybody knows the Gary Chapman, love language piece, and we get that. And you need to learn how you give and receive love. Robert Sternberg, years ago, came up with the three sides of love, talked about that more physical, sensual side of love, you know, that you've got to have that. Then that kind of romantic friendship side of love where you connecting there at that level, and then that base of commitment, that I'm here thick and thin type of love. And the conclusion he had was that it isn't just about loving in an area, that you need all three of those areas in order to make your relationship flourish or grow. I think often we get lost. Men often equate love with, you know, will you make love with me type thing. You know that? And they often, by the way, when they're in trouble, press his spouse to have that response, even when she's angry or frustrated, because for him, it's about a message coming back that you still love me. And it's a bizarre thing, Ted, but you get what I'm saying here. And so how do we put this together, and how do people begin to grow in their awareness and understanding of what it means to love and be loved together?
Yeah, so...
Not everything in life is nice and fun and, you know, sexy. Oh, sure. and romantic. You hear what I'm saying? There are grind times.
And that is the word that so many young couples shy away from today, the grind of life. That there are seasons we just grind out, but we're still companions in the midst of that toilsome labor. And the trick is not to turn your spouse into that grind. God did not give you your spouse to be the grind. He gave you your spouse to go through the grind with. So when we're in a difficult season or stage of life, it's very easy to turn your spouse into it. You're just one more thing for me to have to deal with. You're just one more conversation I have to have. I was drained today at work in conversations, and now I have to, no, my spouse is my companion through those difficult seasons and stages. That's why I love Scott Stanley's definition of commitment. It's making the choice to give up all other choices. When that's at the foundation, that we're in this for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and as we say now at our church, we took the until death do us part line out of our wedding vows and replaced them with until the Lord returns or calls one of us home. We feel that's even a greater commitment. Like, we're in this. We're in this. And guess what? At 50 years old, I'm not done going through difficult seasons and stages of life. My body will find its way into the grind of life. There'll be times, you know, that for my 50th birthday, Amy got me a doctor's appointment. How about that for a 50th anniversary or a 50th birthday present? I'm getting a prostate exam and a colonoscopy for my birthday. So, woo!
Not saying a word.
But Tim, that's true love. That's a wife wanting me. She has this dream that we're going to die together in bed like that couple in The Proposal. And I said, listen, if you want that to happen, you got to start joining me at Cracker Barrel rather than judging me at Cracker Barrel. I want you to be on the ride with me. But that's, to me, look at you and I are sitting here talking about the advanced years in life and able to smile and able to laugh, even during very serious moments and conversations and seasons. And that to me is when marriage gets sweeter. I tell couples who are 5, 6, 7 years into marriage struggling and not feeling in love, I'm like, you guys don't even know each other yet, right? You're still getting started. I'm telling you, it gets better from here.
It's a journey, and you don't realize that early on. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here, and our special guest today is Dr. Ted Cunningham. He's a nationally acclaimed Christian author, speaker, comedian, and founding pastor of Woodland Hills Family Church in Branson, Missouri. Ted is also a regular columnist for Christian Counseling Today magazine and a comedian on the Date Night Comedy Tour, which seeks to enrich people's lives, strengthen their marriage and relationships, and draw people closer to God and each other. Ted, you know, you don't have to go very far in the Bible to realize that we're made for relationship. And in Genesis 2, where it says, it's not good that man be alone, I'll make a helpmeet fit for him. And then a little bit further down in that chapter, it says, therefore shall a man leave both father and mother, cleave unto his wife. They two twain shall become one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and unashamed. And Ted, through the years, especially in the early years of our marriage, where Julie and I had a difficult road together, we almost didn't make it. Ted, I learned that there's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they actually love you. And there's nothing more painful than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, because we're hardwired for love, and they don't love you, or you certainly don't feel like they love you, Ted. And those are some lonely, dark places that you can crawl into. And Ted, getting out of it's rough. I think the persistent heart cry I hear all the time in a counseling session, whether it's over a phone or face-to-face or whatever, is, Tim, all I've ever wanted is for someone to love me. Hmm. Ted, when you get into that place, and I know you're out there, and I know you make people laugh, I know you really try to teach them truths, but when they're in that place, start talking to us about how they can slowly begin to climb up out of that pit as a person and maybe as a couple.
Yeah, and you just said it. It's, do we have two willing people or one willing person? Because that's two very different conversations. And we say in Branson, Missouri, which works for our country music town here, every marriage is a duet in need of great backup singers. And in a day when so many individuals feel isolated and lonely, couples feel isolated and lonely. And Bradley Wilcox out of the University of Virginia, his great research with the Institute for Family Studies shows that 78% of couples who attend church regularly will report that they're either very happy or extremely happy in their marriage. Why is that so important? I always tell couples, you know, a lot of people want to work on their marriage, but if you want to have a great relationship, go on mission together. Like, I mean, have purpose together. And so the church desires to be a great backup singer to the duets in the church, and that may mean a spouse and not a couple. When I meet that husband or wife at the end of an event who is in tears saying, my spouse does not want to participate in this marriage, they're not going anywhere, we're not divorcing, but enjoying life together. I mean, I hear both sides. I hear that he's not there, she's not there. But then I also hear, I haven't heard him laugh like this in years. I haven't heard him enjoy. So the thing I like about that, Tim, that's really picturing a special future for people. That's letting them see what happened tonight is possible for your marriage. And this is why if you have a spouse that's not participating, this time more than ever is when you lean into biblical community. You find the backup singers for your marriage that will rejoice, delight, and praise your love as the daughters of Jerusalem did for the Shulamite woman and Solomon. Too many people, when they start to struggle in a relationship or in a marriage, they start backing away from good voices and they find themselves talking to jaded voices, jaded family members, and jaded friends. This is a time you need to plug into your local counseling center, your church. You need healthy voices speaking life over you so you're making wise decisions moving forward and you're feeling connected even if you're in a loveless, sexless marriage.
Ted, you talked about connecting spiritually too. I saw a University of Chicago study years ago. 75% of Americans who pray with their spouses report that their marriages are very happy. They're more likely to respect each other. They're able to participate in discussions about their marriage together. They actually rated their spouses as better lovers. Ted, that's a big statement. You know, the God factor does matter. Sometimes when you're broken, you don't feel like God hears you or that he's there for you or that he's going to show up for you. But if we can start going in that direction, that's the substance that builds that foundation for us so we can weather storms because we know we're not going it alone. Talk to us about God and what you've learned through the years, you and Amy, and how it works for you guys.
Yeah, I know this. I'm limited supply. Amy is limited supply. And when you plug into your spouse as the source of life, it makes you desperate. It makes you clingy. It's you looking to your spouse for something that God alone gives you, and He is unlimited supply. And here's a line Amy and I use over and over again in our marriage and have for years. My source of life is Jesus, not you.
Ted, our family has such high regard for you and Amy, your family, and the work that God's doing in and through you. And I hope people understand, and I hope they'll learn more about what you're doing out there on the marriage front. Hey, if people want to learn more about you and your resources, maybe your seminars that you're doing, where can they go?
Woodhills.org is our church website. HelpingCouplesWin.com is where I put my coaching course and my resources. But, you know, I have plenty at AACC.net as well.
Ted, on behalf of Zach and his wife Evelyn, Julie, and me, we salute you, pray for you, pray that God will continue to use you for such a time as this. Thank you for joining us.
We love the Clintons. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Pain can either make you bitter or bring you back to what matters most. Few things push us to the edge like suffering, but pain, when surrendered, can become holy ground. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Clinically speaking, pain creates clarity. It strips away distraction and reveals what truly matters to us. Even in your deepest hurt, God is already working toward healing. Your breaking point might just be the place where God rebuilds you stronger, softer, and more peacefully surrendered. If you're at a breaking point, pause. Don't just push through. Press into God and ask, "What are you showing me in this pain?" Then let the pressure realign your purpose. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.